Welcome to the Wednesday night Ladies Bible Study for the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday Women's Bible Study. And we're here at Grace Ranch, the three of us women, and we have Robin. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Karen, and hello, everyone.
And we have Megan.
Hello, everybody.
And we have me, Karen. And Anne will maybe be joining us or maybe not this evening, but she is not here yet back to the ranch. So we were working on Romans 14.
Yes.
And we are going to start with verse 11, I believe.
Yes, we went through to 13 last week, but we'll just read through those three verses again. Karen, would you do that?
Okay. For it is written, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God."
So, I mean, here Paul has made a point, because he talked about, you know, there's some who are strong in the faith, who know that that all things have been made clean, so they can eat meat, they can do all these other things. And there's some who are weak in the faith, and so they eat just herbs. That was in the beginning. And he talks to those who are strong, not to, the word he used was, he said, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation." So, you know, you don't, he's cautioning them about putting a stumbling block in front of a younger Christian or a Christian who hasn't passed through to know this or whatever, but in a baby or weaker stage. And then he also is counseling, and he does this multiple times on both fronts, to the ones who are weak in faith, not to judge the ones who aren't, because they're the ones that walk in the freedom that allows you to partake of meats and drinks and a variety of things. So then he brings it down to the point, he brings up Scripture. "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God." He says we're all going to give account. We're going to give account for ourselves. And, you know, I'm pretty certain we're not going to be able to bring up anyone else's name in that account.
Yes.
And the account we're going to give really is whether we believed in the sufficiency of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the entrance into heaven, is if your faith was in that. So then he kind of concludes that with verse 13.
"Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way."
And that's something to think about. Jesus is a stumbling block to many. But and to stand in that simplicity of the gospel may be a stumbling block to many. But you don't go about... when I read this chapter, really what, if you understand and you're around people that don't, you extend grace. You don't judge them. In this case, it's the weaker that judge the strong. You don't berate them. You let the Lord do his work. There's times and places in the preaching of the word. We are all beneficiaries of the preaching of the word and where we were and where it has brought us thus far. Let the same work be done on another, and don't get hung up about it. Before we move into 14.
Well, it just reminds me of what we talked about last week, too, with Megan giving the example of the children saying, This one's doing that, and, you know, it's up to us to do our own thing and do what the Lord would have us do and not judge somebody else for not doing it.
And the truth is, we're not their judges. And you brought up the good point of we're absolutely not the judge of those who are over us. But we can judge, we can discern and judge things, that's for sure. And we're supposed to. It's not a wrong thing to understand where a person is at or what they're struggling with or whatever, but to cause them to stumble over it is what would be wrong. And the truth is, we're no different. That which we've learned, if we do, we grow strong in the faith. But even that concept isn't, I wasn't super quick to learn that concept, you know? So.
Well, also part of the not judging has to do with not in your, not condemning them.
Mm-hmm.
Because really when you do that, it's about works.
Well, in strong in the faith, he doesn't caution them about judgment on it. It's the weak in the faith. And, of course, if you acquiesce to that, then that which isn't of faith is becomes solidified rather than that which is. And that's why the scripture says to follow the faith of those who have the rule over you, because that's what this is. And they stand in a place where that's how they stand and walk, and that's by the faith of Jesus Christ, who is well able to do that which he has promised. But you hold out that hope for others too, and what we go through doesn't dissuade us, and we all go through things. I mean, so why would we judge a brother or in a place where they haven't yet been able to put their arms around something, or maybe just simply haven't heard yet? Here we have a people that had been, you know, the Jews always came in and were trying to put the law on them. And the law is a likable thing to our flesh, but it can put you in a bit of a quandary. We didn't have that experience, though. You came out of a church where there was a lot of law, being the Catholic Church. You, too, Megan, in a different way. I can't speak to it, but without a doubt, they were legalistic. So we all can understand, just by nature, we're legalistic. I mean, nature, so. But we stand by grace, and in that place, we truly are required. And you can't not extend grace. And when I say that, I mean, if you know that that is why you stand, how could you find fault with a brother or a sister who is doing likewise? Doesn't mean we don't need correction and don't need to hear one another. That's different, like you said, Megan. There's a judgment that is condemnatory. That is not of God. And there's a time and place for ministering and a time and place for letting the Lord do his work. I know I watch Davey. He'll say things people don't hear, and, you know, time passes. He'll say it. People don't hear. Time passes. But, you know, he lets the Lord do his job. He's not the Lord. I know he has done that for me. So why would I think ill of somebody who he's, and he still does. I mean, those who know the truth, we have to do it, and we pray for those, for each other, because we all have to pass through things and continue on, and that's not always a hard passing, easy passing. And those who are weak in the faith, you know, you pray that they'll come to know the truth and be set free of that stuff.
I have an experience of being told something by someone that knew the Lord when I was weak in the faith as a Catholic. This person came up to me and said to me, "Boy, I'm glad that I don't have to follow all those laws and do all that stuff. I'm free from all of that stuff. And then they didn't say anything else to me. They kind of just left it hanging. And that was a time when I was in the Catholic Church, but I was looking for the Lord, but I had not found the gospel, the true gospel, yet.
Did it lay more of a burden on you? Is that what they read?
I remember it. Yeah. I don't know if it laid a burden on me, but I, to this day, remember that.
Yeah. But. So, picking up then on verse 14, Megan,
read.
Please.
I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean.
Okay. So Paul here gives testimony. He knows and is persuaded by the Lord. This isn't just something Paul is philosophically thinks. It's what the Lord has persuaded him to. And he came out of a very strong religious, pharisaical, legalistic mindset. And he made that switch 100%. And you notice there he says that there's nothing unclean of itself. This stuff isn't unclean. But if you consider or esteem it to be, then that person who does that, to them, it is unclean for them. And we'll get down to where, then, if that's where they're at, they should not partake of it. But if you know it's not unclean, you're free to partake of it with thanksgiving. Food, you ask the Lord to bless it, and when you ask him to bless it, you believe that he does, and therefore it's all good.
It reminds me of verse 5, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind.
Yes. So, if you'd read the next two verses, or actually the next three, Megan.
But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
And in the written word, the, mine doesn't necessarily say, yes it does, the word thy before meat, if thy brother, so here we're talking about a person who confesses Christ. It could be a sister, but brother is, if he's grieved with meat, is really what it's saying. Then you're not walking charitably if you destroy him with your meat, with the freedom that you can walk in, for whom Christ died. Christ died for that brother or sister. He died for each of us. And this doesn't mean you don't eat meat. It's really more that, like, if I invited you over for a meal and I knew you didn't eat meat, don't serve meat.
That's right.
It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be hung up about it. Don't think you're better than another person. That which we have learned has been the work of God, not a work of our own self. That which we walk in by faith is to his glory, not our glory. We didn't start at that place. Few of us did, if anybody. I mean, I can't speak for others. But to learn to walk in the freedom that is Christ can take time, so don't get hung up about it. And it's not charitable. So let not your good be evil spoken of. It is a good thing to know that freedom and walk in it. But when you're going to put something in front of your brother that's going to make him stumble, now we're talking evil.
Yep.
And then he goes on to say, you know, the kingdom of God isn't meat. It isn't drink. These aren't the things. it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that righteousness is Christ that we partake of and are clothed in. Peace is that we have accepted the blood of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf and therefore have been accepted by God. And joy in the Holy Ghost, I mean, that's a place of joy that we have that reconciliation with Christ. Despite all the things that go on and the struggles we pass through, if we... the testimony of the Holy Spirit and the knowledge of where we dwell and where we shall be is transcending to the things of the earth. It just is. Karen, would you read verse 18?
For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men.
Okay. So, if you will walk this way in service of Christ, you're acceptable to God. And that's a walk of faith. It's a walk of choice. It's a walk of the choice of agape love. It's a walk of patience. It's a walk of, really, it's a walk of love. And if you go read the attributes of love in 1 Corinthians 13, and that's a place where you choose the way of God instead of the way of flesh or the world. They're kind of one and the same. And approved of men. Now, obviously, there are a lot of... this isn't that everybody's going to recognize you as something. But you're not given a place for the truth to be evil spoken of. You stand in it. You don't minister a lie, but you let the Lord do his work with people and you pray for them, even as others pray for us.
You also, the men in their being approved of them are those who come to your house weaker in faith, and they will hear when they don't receive stumbling blocks type of thing, you know?
And also those who have grown in the faith, they do approve of those men.
Sure.
And, you know, it brings to mind something, and that is, in this ministry, there are those approved of God. Not just one, though there certainly is a head in our ministry to be honored, and rightly so. But there's more than one. And if you disapprove for whatever reasons, you need to take a look at that. Because if God has approved them, you need to humble yourself to do likewise. So, Karen, if you pick up there.
Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another.
Okay. So, just kind of what we were talking about. You don't put something in front of your brother or your sister that is a stumbling block to them. That would not be something made that makes for peace. But rather you edify. And that word edify, is confirmation, building, edification, edifying. You build them up in the faith. Sometimes it's as simple as actually making confession. I remember I was going to a women's Bible study at a local Baptist church. There were those that really didn't like me being there, and there's one woman that was in agreement with me, but I remember talking to Davey about it, and he said to me, "Because I know you'll say the right thing." Well, I thought about that to this day, and what he does is he edifies and he builds up. So do I know I didn't only say the right thing. It's not that I spoke a false gospel or anything, don't get me wrong, but part of saying the right thing is saying what you should say when you should say it, no more, no less. But you see, that call is there to say the right thing, and in Christ I can answer it. And that's how I've always looked at it, because he edified me to go forth. But not like, oh, Robin, you're so smart, you're so wise, you know, none of that stuff, you know, because that isn't true. And there's a great place for taking what a person has and building on it for their sake. I mean, when Paul said that he knew that which God had begun in the Philippians, he was able to perform. The Philippians, that was something that they could have taken a hold of and chose to believe. It's not that every single person that reads that letter that God's going to perform things in, but when you have it spoken that with confidence that God is able, you have something you can grab a hold of and a hope that you can hold on to despite how you feel and where things haven't settled out yet, so you can't stand well. That would be examples of edification. To support a person. Sometimes call them forth.
I might say, well, I'll put it out as a suggestion. Our doctor in Vermont, who Davy knew and would go to, couldn't believe Davy's health knowing his lifestyle. What he ate, that he smoked, that he didn't exercise. He couldn't believe the lab results, if you will, you know, etc., including things like your blood pressure, whatever. He couldn't believe those, knowing Davy and his life, but that was a means of edifying him in the faith, which I think he really struggles with.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's a really good example, because Davy didn't cease from all that. He didn't hide any of it. It wasn't a division between them in being able to converse. They liked each other very much. I know the doctor had respect for Davy and Davy the doctor, but in a different way. I mean, that's the doctor he went to. That's the doctor he had his family go to when they went to a doctor. But, yeah, it was, at least, a struggle to be able to put that together with what he had
been taught
and also believed.
Sure.
And in Christ, we had the opportunity to choose what we believe, and that's a beautiful thing. So we've believed a bunch of garbage our whole lives, but it doesn't have to have a single hold on us. We can choose to believe Christ instead. But yes, that was a good example. Very good example. If anyone had been there or known or can imagine, it didn't divide them. Davy put no stumbling block in his way, but he didn't change himself to be acceptable. And that's the point. Megan, if you'd read the next couple verses.
For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak.
Okay, and here's the scripture where, you know, it is, all things indeed are pure. So this is the second time he said it. First time was the Lord had persuaded him. He was convinced. Jesus said it.
That was
the end of it. And so here he just makes a statement, all things indeed are pure. But here it says it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. And so you would not want to cause him to do so. And for meat, don't destroy the work of God. That's the thing. That's really what we're talking about. Love believes and trusts the work of God. So why would you destroy it? Out of pride, arrogance, lack of love, high-mindedness. And then he goes on to say that it's good to do none of these things. And then he brings in drink. And that's one that, you know, I know I can have a glass of wine and I can have a beer. I could probably have some whiskey. I could have these things. But I know there are times and places I would not, and there are times and places when I had the freedom to. And the reason why I would not is because I also understand the struggle to come out of that kind of bondage, and you wouldn't want to put a stumbling block in a brother or a sister's way. Now, once completely free of it, it can become a different story. It does become a different story because you're completely free of it. Mm-hmm. But and you don't want to support, give place, because if you're, and I haven't necessarily done this, but if you're struggling with that kind of stuff, and you see somebody you know is of the Lord partaking, it's an easy thing to say, then it's okay. That's the thing, even if you know it isn't. But it doesn't take a lot if you're in the midst of that. And so you just, you're mindful. You care about them.
It is okay, but that doesn't mean that for you at that time it is okay.
That's right.
Or right.
Yeah. It is good neither to eat flesh nor drink wine or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth. That doesn't mean you pretend that you never drink wine.
Sure.
Just not in their presence.
Right, not where it would be a stumbling block.
And these are obviously talking about things where you know that a brother or sister has an issue with this. You know, what did it say there about do the things that make for peace?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. What you drink doesn't matter. What you eat doesn't matter.
No, it's whether you believe God that matters.
Right. And how you then show that.
And here we're talking about people that have an understanding, stand in it, and don't give it up. Don't compromise it. But don't cause your brother to stumble because he isn't yet there. Hopefully he will come. Karen, if you want to read the last two verses.
Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Your story early, or about the person said how glad they were free and didn't live under all that law. See, that's a person that condemns himself
mm-hmm.
in that thing which he alloweth. That's between you and the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You stand in it, you minister it as appropriate, but you don't blab it around like you're someone. I don't have to do that, or I can do that, or all this kind of stuff. That is not profitable. It's the same kind of thing when people just spew all their knowledge. Real knowledge comes when you know, when you're not high-minded about it, and don't think better of yourself for it, but rather are thankful to have come to that knowledge. And then it's a far more merciful and gracious ministering of it to another, rather than just, I know the Word of God, I know what it means, I know this isn't true, I know that that's wrong, you know. I mean, that kind of garbage is just that. It's there to exalt yourself.
And it goes back to allowing the Lord to work with that person.
We're the fruit of his work. It's not on us, it's on him. And that's really all there is. I mean, every knee is going to bow to him, not only because he's God, but he doesn't get the choice of where we're going to dwell. We do. But he's going to make that division, if that makes sense. I mean, if we believe him and trust him in accordance with his word, that is makes us acceptable. Not whether we're likable or haven't done this or haven't done that or done this or done that. It's solely on that.
It's a hard thing to get over because we're right before ourselves every single day.
And a lot of when we see a weaker brother is they're having that hardship of getting over.
Mm-hmm.
Getting over what they believed, getting over, you know, the things they've been entrenched in. And
just having faith to thyself before God goes back to being fully persuaded in your own mind, and also the fact that every one of us is going to give an account before the Lord. That was, you know, other verses talked of in this chapter here.
I know being fully persuaded in your own mind doesn't necessarily mean you're right. And I say that.
Sure.
Because I have stood and wondered about so many things since I accepted the Lord without any understanding, and thought that which I saw was wrong. Now, I've come to see what was wrong about some things, so now I have a better picture of that. But I've also come to see where it was I who was wrong. And yet at the time, it's not like I sat there, oh, Lord, I am persuaded I am right, you know, in a way. But I didn't do that. But it took a while before the Lord could break through that to show me my error. And so, is it not an error to think that you can't eat meat? In the gospel and the word of God, it's an error. But if you're doing it and that's what you know and you're persuaded of it, you know, the Lord is able to show you otherwise. Now, we know that Paul went up and withstood Peter to his face over separating from the Gentiles, not eating with them and all that kind of stuff, because of a couple things. First of all, why Peter did it was wrong. He was afraid of the Jews. Right off the bat, we know that was wrong. But the other thing is if you know the truth, you need to stand in that truth. What you don't know, Lord will bring it to you. But that which you do know, you cannot play games with it. And like Peter did at that moment, and give place to the accusations and condemnations of another. It's not good for them. And it's not good for the Word of God, because it just takes a little poison to destroy its work. And we see that because of the diversity of churches and in this country with so many churched people and regular churchgoers, and yet a country whose God is not the Lord. Obviously, there's been a lot of poisons put in there and acquiescing to that which is not true, to the destruction of many. And so, none of us are apostles. We're not the Apostle Paul. We're not the Apostle Peter. We're not the Apostle Megan, Robin, or Karen. I mean, we're not apostles, never will be. But we have a ministry in him. But that is in him, by him, and in accordance with the word, period. And we cannot we have to learn not to compromise it or be afraid of people. And Peter, as an apostle, it was important, I mean, yeah, that he was rebuked for that. Because that was not good for anybody else.
Thank God he gives us a lifetime. Because when you die, you're judged at that time by what you know. And I'm 43. I don't have perfect understanding of all that is true. I don't understand the full word. But what I do understand, that's what the Lord would judge me by if I died. Hopefully not today, but...
There's a lot of others that agree with you in that hope.
Yes. So, that's just a part of, you know, today. What we know today, we need to do today, are we doing it today? Tomorrow is another day, and there'll be new things tomorrow.
Yeah, and some of that is actually, I know, as like Megan, some other four fairly young children, they're getting less young by the day. they used to all be very young, but they're not anymore. They're kind of in that middle-aged children group. And to be able to exercise yourself in faith throughout a day in the midst of kind of the turmoil of the day, sometimes internal turmoil, sometimes external turmoil. That alone is, you know, sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. You had that battle like all mothers do. And Karen and my battle is a different one as we get through our day, although I'm sure we have similarities because all of our children are grown. I'm sure, Megan, as a mother, you walk knowing of the need of God's mercy and grace, so you would be forward about doing likewise because you get it. I remember getting it, you know. I remember some. I don't remember all, but I have a general sense of it that I have not forgotten, and the struggles. Kind of it's what's it to me that somebody else struggles too, but struggle to believe, right?
Yeah.
And to walk in the faith of Christ, notwithstanding how you feel and stuff like that. And so it is with Karen and I.
Yes. Amen.
Just isn't played out in the presence of children. Well, that's the end of 14, and we shall quit there. Megan's looking something up, so we're giving her the...
Well, the last section of 23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And that reminds me of Hebrews 3, which I'm going to turn to here so that I can look at both of them at the same time. Page is turning. Take heed, brethren, Hebrews 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That's a different way of saying whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Sin is unbelief. And I just want to point that out. Bring that up.
The one thing I hope is clear to people, that which you know, do. And the Lord is able to bring us where he would have us. It's really that simple. And when you're corrected, choose to receive it and learn a new thing. That's important too. It's not like you dig your heels in and just decide you're right. That's why it also talks about obeying and submitting yourself to those who have the rule over you and to follow their faith because they have learned of God things that are profitable if you'll be willing. And you don't want to stand defending where you are. But don't be hung up about it. That which you know to do, do, which is what you said earlier, Megan. But do it.
Those that are above you are there for you to learn from and to give you examples and to edify you in the faith, build you up.
bring correction.
Bring correction that you receive with joy and not with grief. And that's not easy.
Actually, I think you have that scripture a little bit off. Let me just get that down. But right, it isn't always a pleasant experience, and anybody who would say that it was, I would question.
Yes, and that
was simple.
You're looking at the Hebrews
12.
13. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby.
Okay, that's one. And then you kind of mixed it with Hebrews 13:17, yes. If you want to read that one.
Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you.
See, that was talking about those who have the rule over you, mm-hmm. and must give account to God, not the person that chastening seemeth grievous for.
Yeah, at a time. Yeah, I mean, I really messed that one up.
That's okay. It brought up a good point. It can feel grievous. I mean, and oftentimes does. But when you submit yourself to those who have the rule over you, you actually submit because you trust, not your own understanding and your own way of thinking, but the Lord, whose ways are different than ours. The only way to get to learn that new way is through what we read in Hebrews 13. Submission is a choice of trusting and believing and putting off your own thoughts. Period. I mean, there's really no other definition. You can certainly do what they say or act like you do, but it won't change you until you submit to it and receive it. So, next week, we'll have a Miss Anne with us, and we'll head into chapter 15. So, thank you all for joining us. And I hope you'll come back next week and serve the Lord in that which you know in the interim, in the meantime. By faith, by the faith of Christ, knowing that you can, in fact, do just that.
Amen. Amen.
Good night, all.
Good night.
May the Lord bless you.
Good night, everyone.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.